Hey yo, what's good? What's up? Some dude pod episode 200 and I think 16 or 17.
Yeah.
Make sure you rate, like, subscribe. If it's 217, that's wild because my mom and my brother's birthday was yesterday on
Happy 217. Birthday. Happy birthday.
Play the lottery. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barber's Chair Network is the home. Barber's Chair Co. is the parent company. I am your head of content, JR Bank. We got Mike B there. Got the hoodie on. Go ahead and get the merch. Scott said that I was rapping pillars too hard. So I went ahead and put on the Stacks hoodie, means crew sweater. Yeah. I got this while I was in Memphis.
Okay.
I went to the Stacks record joint. So I gotta do what my boss tell me to do. So how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right, bang. You know, I'm feeling good, feeling great. I can't complain. I went to my daughter's parent teacher conference last Friday.
Oh shit, how was that?
It was cool. She's taking health classes. It's like health. They have health class in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember taking health class my freshman year.
What's in the health class, Mike?
I mean, what do you think they talk about in health?
are you uncomfortable to have
very, 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 very uncomfortable, babe. Very uncomfortable. But you know what? Oh, that's all right, though. I remember, like, and I already knew she was taking the health classes, but I have a quick, funny story about her health teacher. But she came in the room once. Like, me and my wife was laying down, and she was talking about health classes on all the stuff that they talk about in health. And I was like, "How do you know all of this? You're not supposed to know this yet." So I was frightened. It was alarming to me, but it's okay. My daughter is very mature. That was a kind of a moment I had. I'm like, man, I know I took health classes my freshman year. So she a little ahead of the learning curve. But let me get to the quick story about her health teacher. So her health teacher was the last teacher that we visited before we left. Everybody, all her teachers say wonderful things about her. The conferences be short and sweet. They'd be like, "Oh, Nikhil, we love her, blah, blah, blah." I'd be like, yeah. So we get to the health class, and then we talk to the health teacher a little bit. She's kind of like going over the, you know what I'm saying, the curriculum. And then she, like, once again, Nikhil is great. You know, we love her. And she kind of like just gave her like some advice, like, you know, just Nikhil is friends with a group of girls.
Oh, shit.
No. She's friends with a group of girls.
No, we got to.
What happened?
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Scott, what's up? The boss is here.
Hold on. I wasn't here trying to be. I was trying to edit because y'all got this streaming on my Twitter. I didn't know it was gonna come on real quick. I was trying to change it to Barber's Chair.
I hit the wrong button.
I was like, why is this on my Twitter?
Wait a minute. Hey, that's hilarious. Oh man, let me get this shit off mine.
I thought I was just gonna come in the room real quick.
No, you wasn't.
I just wanna say, Scott? I'm about to do this meeting real quick, but I'm just gonna say, tune in summer session tomorrow. I got a lot of shit to say. that's some head ass songs for you. That's what you're gonna call tomorrow. All right, that's all I gotta say. All right, next.
Oh shit!
Hey, wait, before you go, the hilarious shit is Scott came in this motherfucker like he came into the wrong room.
He did, bro.
like he saw his parents doing it. Oh shit! No, Orlando, this is not the Rakes, fam. No.
Oh shit.
Goddamn
gangbanging.
This is goddamn Stacks Records, man.
That definitely looked like, you know, some
GD, yeah. Fam.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah.
But quick, let me finish the story. Yeah. That made me very uncomfortable. So her teacher, the health teacher, was like, she was like, "Yeah, Nikhil, you know, she hangs with a certain group of girls in the class, and she wanted her to concentrate on saying the that group of girls that she works with on a daily, and then she was saying she made a statement like, you know, don't worry about the boys, you know, that bother you or anything like that. So I was like, what do you mean? So I kind of like nudged Nate, like, what's she talking about? She was like, she didn't really say it was nothing crazy. She's like, yeah, the boys might kind of be picking on her and everything like that. So, I told Nate, I said, like, if boys bother you or they pick on you, 9 times out of 10, they like you. I think that's all that is, you know. And we just got done having this conversation on the pod last week when we were talking about boys and all this stuff like that. So I was like, don't worry about when boys bother you, because 9 times out of 10, they just like you. Like, they like you and they want to, like, you know, talk to you or whatever. I don't know what the words are nowadays that these kids use.
Yeah.
But yes. And then she was like, yeah.
Riz. They want to
riz. They're trying to riz my child.
They're trying to riz or some shit. Yeah. That's what Trey said.
So, but and then she mentioned I think Nakel kind of saw this moment as she had a truth moment with me. So I think she like saw the opportunity to, like, you know what I'm saying, and just tell me something. So she was like, yeah, she's like, daddy, there is this one boy. He shall remain nameless. So now, you know what? He ain't even remain nameless. There's some little nigga named Ralph. A little dirty ass boy named Ralph. She said, "Yeah, daddy, he like me, but I don't like him though." And
nickname Ralph.
And he be trying to get my Instagram. I said, and I was like, "Okay, you doing a good job." I was like, do you like him? She's like, I don't like him, daddy. But he be trying to get my Instagram, and then he be trying to talk to, like, so Ralph is he's a little consistent fella. So I just heard another story that he be trying to convince one of Nakel's friends to, like, hey, can you give me Nakel's Instagram, or can you tell her that I want her Instagram? Like, little buddy, little consistent little fella, you know? But Nakel, she made it clear, like, you know, I don't like him, blah, 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 you know. And I was like, that's good. I was like, don't worry about boys. I said, boys are dirty. I said, they dirty. Don't talk to them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was cool. It was a little interesting moment there.
Mike, did you ever have a coat room girlfriend?
So, you know what's great? In eighth grade, I had a girlfriend.
Like a coat room girlfriend.
It wasn't like a coat room, but we used to sneak off and, like, you know what I'm saying, kiss and stuff like that. But not coat room, though.
Mir, did you have a coat room boyfriend?
Nah, but it was weird. It wasn't really, like, she was only my girlfriend when we were at school. Like, I never saw her outside of school. So if it was at school, so anything, like, yeah.
Like, but y'all just, like, y'all before class start, y'all meet up in the co-room, maybe kiss, juice.
Nah, it wasn't nothing like that. Nah, it wasn't nothing like that, bro. But yeah, that was a little funny moment though. So shout out to the health teacher.
Yeah,
put me on some game.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know.
But other than that, my mental health is all right. My mental health is cool.
That
was a moment I had, a mental health moment, but I'm okay now.
Celebrated my 10-year anniversary.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, 10 years, man.
The funniest thing about that post that Bae, he posted up, he was like, this had me rolling. He said, yeah, we just decided to get up and go to City Hall. We didn't even know it was Valentine's
Day. Man, we did not even know it was Valentine's Day until my brother was like, oh, this is sweet. Y'all decided to do this on Valentine's Day. Like, no, we did this because I'm moving tomorrow.
Yeah, and it just so happened to be Valentine's Day.
I wonder why this line long. What the fuck? Like, the hell going on? Just so happens to be that.
Yeah.
But yeah, celebrated 10 years. Shouts out to the wife.
Congratulations.
And everything. 10 years, fam. Like, marriage was never on my mind. Like, never. Marriage and kids was never on my mind. Mm-hmm. I thought I was gonna grow up to be the old nigga in the club. But be at the bar though. Like, I wasn't gonna be like,
yeah,
you know, having a bottle in a space. Like, bring your young ass over here, girl. Like, I thought I was just gonna be like the old dude at the bar. I never thought I was gonna get married and shit. But she's been dealing with me. Look how the universe worked. 10 years, 3 kids with two big moves, partridge in the pear tree.
Yes, sir.
So shouts out to that.
Love to see it.
Yeah, you know, black love. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Black love. But I asked her, she had a coat room boyfriend. She said, nah. And I think everybody once in their life, like when they was like in grammar school, like first through fifth, I think you had a coat room mate.
Okay.
Like you had a girl that you flirted with, like you touched her butt, she like touched on you in the coat room. Like you sure you ain't had no coat room girlfriend at Irving?
So look, I had girlfriends, but I was like the respectable kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was never.
But y'all ain't like hug real close in the coat room.
Not in the coat room. Like people knew, like the kid, other kids knew we were like a thing, but it was never anything past like hugging and maybe a little peck.
But yeah, I mean, but you,
like, I wasn't no perv.
You ain't never juice, Mike. You ain't never juice no girl when you
was... Bang, look, I got a story.
Hold on, wait,
listen to me, Bang. This is for another pod. I didn't start doing like freaky shit with girls until my freshman year. And that's a story for another pod. We just gonna leave that one at that.
Come on, man.
Mike, eighth grade, I was not a freaky boy.
Oh, Mike, you had to like juice the girl, like rub, like you ain't. Damn, Mike, everybody had a coat room girlfriend, man.
I had girlfriends, but they wasn't like we snuck off and did stuff.
Man, boy,
I was the respectable young man in eighth grade.
Boy,
I was.
I won't name my classmates' name, but shouts out to his sister.
Okay.
She was a habitual juicer. That was her thing.
Bang, I told you, you grew up a little quicker. You grew up a little quicker than me.
I did grow up a little quicker.
So
the 80s is wild.
I was the kid that we talked about to the pod last week. I was the kid that the girl's parents would be like, that's a nice, respectable young man.
I was too.
I like him. Were you, Bang?
I was too. Yeah. Oh, yo, that didn't, boy.
You look, was respectable, but you was a little freaky little pervert.
I was Eddie Haskell. If you don't know Leave It to Beaver,
yeah,
like go just look up Eddie Haskell. I'll come. Hey, how you doing, man? Everything's great. Oh man, everything's fine and dandy.
Oh, all yeah. Right.
Go outside, man. What the fuck we doing? What the fuck we on? On these hoes? Like, oh shit!
Oh
boy,
my
what
god!
The Gemini, that's the Gemini.
Yeah.
Also during this week, and shouts out to Jeff. He's checking in. What's up, fellas? First catching y'all live at the start, and been looking for a podcast to get real about the All-Star game that took place over this weekend.
Hold, ain't please.
Shit.
Hold, please. We're going to get to that.
Ain't really that. Shit to talk about.
It's
Mike,
not.
Did you,
but we're going to get real about it.
Did you listen to the Party Next Door and Drake album?
Yes.
Let's get it out the way.
You want to get into the Party Next Door?
Let's
and Drake
get it
album.
Out the way because I ain't listening to that shit. All
right. I listened to it. Of course, I'm going to listen to it, bro. I said while we've had these Kendrick Lamar and Drake conversations and just Drake conversations in general about like where Drake goes next, what is next for Drake post beef, because that has seemed to have been the subject matter revolving around Drake for this past year. And you know, the big question was, what happens for Drake next? Does he take a hiatus? Does he continue to just like make music? Obviously, I think the first move that he actually did make post beef that had something to do with music was going to Australia and doing the tour that he did out there that started right like maybe a week or so before the Super Bowl. And then I think while he was on that tour, right before the tour, he announced that him and Party Next Door, Bang is disappointed about something. I'm sure it's work related. It's something work related. Bang, what's wrong?
It's work related.
I knew it. I know the work related. But Drake went to Australia, announced that him and Party Next Door was putting out a project. And fast forward to this past weekend, here we are. Party Next Door and Drake. Some sexy songs for you. And Bang, you said you did not listen to the project. Didn't
not
indulge it
out.
Shit. Why not Drake? Why not Drake? Why not Bang? It's new music. You have to consume. You know what I'm saying? This is what we do. We consume new music regardless. Why weren't you interested in the Party Next Door Drake album?
Nah, listen to that shit. I don't want to listen to R&B Drake.
All right, cool. So I understand. Now, me personally, I'm a R&B. I'm a fan of R&B Drake. I don't have a problem with R&B Drake. Drake has a real solid collection of records that he sings on that I have no problem with. And I think prior to us on the pod, we talked about like the anticipation of the project. And I said I wasn't anticipating the project because I'm not a fan of Party Next Door. I think Drake makes better R&B records than Party Next Door does. I don't think Party Next Door is good at making music. I said that on the pod, so that made me skeptical on the project. But I went into the project, listened to it, open ears, no judgment, nothing clouded my judgment or anything like that. I was pretty objective, and the project is exactly what I thought it was going to sound like, and it just wasn't really good. Wasn't really good. A couple standout tracks, but other than that, very forgettable. Very forgettable record. Bang, I really wish you would have listened to it because there's a couple records on there that you would have died laughing at. Bang, this man.
I mean, I'll listen to it.
These dudes did a Mexican record, bro. They got a Mexican joint on here, fam. Like Drake.
Okay, now I got to listen to it.
With a Mexican accent. He's singing to the, he's a Latino record, bro. And
wait a minute, is he like getting this Vicente Fernandez song?
It's really terrible, Bang, but it's very comical at the same time. You want me to play a little snippet of it? I'll play a snippet for you. Let me see if I can get a snippet of this.
Nah, we can't play the snippet on the feed. That shit gonna take it down.
Okay, cool. I can't play it. Cool.
I'm gonna listen to it though. Scott said he got time to kill before his next meeting, so he gonna join us.
Yeah, he could jump in.
The give me a hug shit. Like, I'm glad that he made an anthem for a give me a hug ass nigga. Like, I am happy that he made an anthem for them perverted ass give me a hug ass niggas.
Yes, sir.
So all I was thinking of is just the give me a hug ass dude just randomly walking up to a girl, give me a hug, give me a hug, give me a hug. Where my hug at? Like, yeah, like.
Head nigga damn. Head nigga damn.
It's the head nigga damn song. Ladies, you got a head nigga damn song.
Yeah.
And give me a hug. Like, oh, man. But yeah, I mean, shots Orlando. Good point. So basically, Drake is being like Drake Fernandez or some shit.
On that record, bro, yeah, you can say that. It was very cringe. Very cringe. But look, again, though, like I said, I don't think Party Next Door is a good artist. I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan. And it's a couple records on there that are like good R&B vibes, but he's singing on it. And I wish somebody else was singing. The record would be great if somebody else wasn't singing. Like Party Next Door, talent-wise, singing-wise, I don't think he's good at all. And I honestly, like I said, Drake makes good R&B music to me. Like when he steps into the R&B lane on some of his projects, he makes tolerable records. Records that are solid. Like not bad at all. Party Next Door, I've never been a fan. I've never been a fan of anything that Party Next Door and Drake has done together. They have plenty of songs together. I've never been a fan. So that was my expectations going into the record in general. But there's a couple good records on here. I would say maybe three or four solid songs, but other than that, everything is just like it's no replay value. Nothing crazy. It sounds exactly what a Party Next Door record would sound like.
I've never listened to a whole part.
Never. Me neither.
I couldn't even tell you what Party Next Door looked like.
Look, same here, buddy. I know what the guy looks like, but other than that, like I wouldn't have. Look.
Party Next Door was the one of them Majid Jordan niggas.
No, but I'm gonna say this though. I'm gonna say this on some of these records. Where's the nigga from Division at? Where he at? He signed. Ain't Division signed to OVO?
Oh no,
Division is signed to OVO. They are was one signed to OVO. So the nigga that's singing in that group, his name not Division. It's another. It's him and the producer. But where is he at? He can sing. Put him on these songs right here, then we can talk about it. It's something else to talk about. But is not it, Joe. He not it. Yeah. Not it for me.
I leave that shit to Pav.
It ain't for me, bro. I seen Pav. Leave that shit to Pav. You know, Pav was on the timeline caping. I seen it. I leave that shit to him. The man said, like, 10 years down the line, I think he made a post and said, 10 years down the line, this is gonna be an undeniable classic.
Who said that?
Pav said something of that nature. I'm not gonna quote him.
Wait a minute, this album?
He said something to that nature. I don't know, bro. I have to go back and look.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can scroll. He said something.
Y'all already know how I feel.
But I know he's a big fan, though. He's a big fan. So, but I saw him tweeting about the album.
Yeah.
But overall, bang,
I feel about that.
This album ain't, it's nothing to talk about. It'll be forgotten about in the next week or so. It's over.
Well, they said they looked at the numbers and it seemed like people didn't already forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because the week two numbers were pew.
It's gonna go to number one this week.
Well, not like the next day numbers. That, like, basically, I know Scott ready for that album to do 125 so he can talk his shit.
So apparently the estimate's gonna be about 250 first week. So
also the estimates did come back 250.
Around 250. 200, 250. That's what it's probably gonna be for, and it's gonna be number one. It's gonna be number one, and then it got like Sabrina Carpenter is supposed to be in two, and GNX is gonna come in at three. But shout out to Kendrick Lamar this week. Kendrick Lamar has three albums in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, and one of the albums is number one. And he has five records in the top 100, and number one record right now is Not Like Us. That kind of like just. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But as far as this record goes, I mean, it's gonna do the regular Drake numbers, go number one, but this one is gonna be gone and forgotten about. Nothing special here. But shout out to Drake on the Give Me a Hug record. The record that's one of the standout records. He rapping. I honestly feel like he probably could have saved that one. You know what I'm saying? For like maybe whenever he decided to do his own solo comeback record. That's one of those records because he is rapping on there and he's rapping good, which nobody would ever deny that he can do. But, you know, that was one of those, I'm back, y'all niggas playing with me, you know what I'm saying? Because he was kind of like talking his shit on there. So shout out to Drake for that record. But other than that, though, pretty nothing much that stand out here. Okay. Not trash, just not good. Not for me. Okay. We're going to just go there with that.
Well, shouts out. I mean, if that's the case, shouts out to Drake if they get that. Or PND, Party Next Door. I don't know who is what in this case. Like I said, I don't know what this nigga look like, but I mean, we'll see what happens from that. Now, however, let's go ahead and get into this All-Star game. All-Star weekend happened this past weekend, and a lot of people had a lot to say about it. So let's start with Saturday. Or do we want to start with Friday? Like, do people care about the celebrity game?
No. The celebrity game, I think I used to watch all of that shit. I used to have all of that shit on tape, like recorded it from the celebrity game up until the Sundays. But I don't know. Like, nobody really watches the celebrity game. It's on a Friday night, bang. Like, it's tough for me to get into anything on a Friday night. When it comes to like celebrity basketball, because they don't really be having no good celebrities out there. Kasanat and what's his name? Drewski. Those are like the top celebrities
Do niggas care about the All-Star like celebrity game
on Friday night?
No, I don't even. I used when I was a big NBA head, I watched it, but I don't watch that shit. No more.
Literally, what I just said. Like,
I think it's because it's basketball. Because the celebrity football game they did on the Super Bowl was entertaining. Like, it gave me Rock and Rock vibes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I saw some of the names and shit, and I was just like, do motherfuckers really give a shit about like Rome Flynn hooping?
Nah.
Okay. I don't think so. Mm-mm. What's going on, fellas?
Like, all right, man. We got the boss up in here, Scott. You can follow him at Barbchest Scott. Shouts out to him. Like, he is the one who yells at me consistently to do my damn job.
I don't yell at anybody.
You know, motherfucker, do your goddamn job. stop texting me. Stop texting me this damn Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson shit. So let's go.
Y'all was pissing me off doing that time. I'm so glad that shit is over. You and Mikey, man, I was like, yo, who can I replace these niggas with?
See, that's fucked up. Mike almost got the call. Mike, hey, we need your angle. All right,
we're gonna bring Mike off the bench.
bang tripping.
Every day it would be like, oh, well, Jacksonville might really want Ben Johnson. And I'm trying to explain it. I felt so vindicated when Ben Johnson's agent was like, nah, that was all a lie. I was like, I was saying it for a month. But anyway, what were you saying, Bang?
All right, so let's move on this because nobody give a fuck about Friday. Maybe we need to bring back Inside Stuff. Remember when Inside Stuff did like the
NBA have switched the rights to NBC, so then Inside Stuff was on NBC, correct?
Yeah, shouts out to Inside Stuff. So let's go to Saturday and let's start with Wimby and Chris Paul basically saying fuck this shit.
Yeah, I just saw that comment, Orlando. You funny as hell.
Look, man.
That was true too. Let's start with Saturday and Wimby and Chris Paul saying "fuck this shit." Why are we still doing the skills challenge? Like, what is the point,
bro? They have fucked that shit all the way up. The skills challenge used to be fire, dog. It used to be solid. They didn't fuck that shit all the way up. First of all, you shouldn't even be allowed. You have to hit the shot, bro. They didn't change the rules to where, like, you actually can shoot the ball three times, and even if you miss, you can move on. And then they opened up the bounce pass ring. I'm like, dude, this is easy as hell. Like, you can, goddamn it, Nate could throw a bounce pass through that big ass hoop, bro. Like, this shit is like the rules have been fucked up. And yeah, Chris Paul and them saw opportunity. Well, they was like, look, fuck this shit, dog. We just gonna look. And that commentator said it while the shit was going on, that this is the most Chris Paul. This got Chris Paul fingerprints all over it. So, because you're looking at it and you're like, wait a second. What is going on? Why are you niggas doing this shit? Like, that's just a part of them changing the rules. They didn't made it to where, like, you don't have, when you get to the three-point shot, you don't have to make the three-point shot. When you get to the little mid-range shot, you don't have to hit it. So just fuck it. We just finna manipulate the system. And that's what they did. And at that moment, that's when I knew that NBA All-Star Weekend is literally fucked.
Man, for the first time in my life, I didn't watch NBA Saturday. Like, at all. I was two shows I was trying to finish. One, Bane told me about Paradise. Great TV. Real great TV. And Landman, real good Caucasian television.
Yes.
I was not watching.
I heard about that
All-Star Saturday night. I watched the game. I didn't watch All-Star Saturday night. I saw Mac McClung repeated when I was scrolling the TL, and I was like, there's no reason for me. I'm glad I didn't watch this. They finna send him back to the G League, nigga.
So hold on. I don't want to get to Mac McClung yet. I want to get, like, The skills challenge is basically just like, why the fuck are we here?
Yo, bring the two ball back, okay? Get the WNBA players in. Bring back the two ball. That's what they need to bring back, man. Like, I said that on the pod 2 years ago, I think. Two, three years ago. I said, bring the two ball back. Bring the WNBA players in and bring back the two ball. If you don't know what the two ball is, y'all go ahead and Google that. All right? It was solid competition.
So then it's the three-point contest. I didn't realize how many Miami Heat niggas won.
They screwed that up this year too. But go ahead, man.
How did they screw it up?
Where are the shooters at? We got Cunningham out here. We got Jalen Brunson out here. We got Cam Johnson out here. These guys are in-game three-point shooters. Where's Max Strus? Like, where's Bohan Bogdanovic? Where's Kevin Huerter at? Get the white boys out here, fam. Like,
Kevin Huerter is a Chicago Bull, which I found out last week.
That shit funny.
Wait, you ain't know?
I had no idea. He was
in the trade.
Bro, I have removed myself from all Chicago sports not named Bears.
Oh, yeah, you definitely removed yourself if you didn't even know
I didn't know Zach Collins was on the Bulls.
Yeah.
I was like, they really getting a lot of white people on this team.
They called it. I said it's about to get real Caucasian on the Bulls,
facts,
Jack.
Facts.
They gearing up for that white big three.
But yeah, man. I feel like where the shooters at, bro? Like, this was there were only three people that had rounds over 20 points. Like, Dame was the defending champion, and his first round he only had like 18. He had 18. Yeah. Yeah, Buddy Hield had a good round. Darius Garland had a good round in the first round. And Tyler Hero put up a dub in one of his round in the final round. And that's what I'm saying. Nobody else put up a round over 20, G.
Jack for flag, Paul.
I always say be bad for flag. I don't want to say Paul every time.
No, but you gotta do it. It's not Jack for flag.
I feel like the Bulls already won too many damn games. Like they
did though.
See, they did, but they might have to freeze that envelope for us like they did with D Rose. I ain't say winning like barely. Like if you're Adam Silver, do you want your Cooper Flagg to go to DC? Like DC is such a bad place that Flagg said, yeah, I might want to come back to Duke next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can see Cooper Flagg holding off on
there's nothing like
on his decision.
There's nothing like Duke and Bulls.
Yeah,
Duke and Bulls. We got it matches.
And the worst part is, even if the Bulls do get flagged, they're gonna fuck it up anyway. But at least let me have something to watch for at least 7-8 years. You
Sky
know?
Has no faith.
No matches? Faith. Look,
you
look.
Got no faces and matches and.
Flags. I like matches.
I like matches. My faith ain't in the mine ain't the players or even the coach. Like Billy Donovan's gonna go to the Hall of Fame. Billy Donovan gets you. What you want to do with the crap he got on his roster? I blame the Reinsdorfs. Like that's the issue, and they're not going anywhere because even when Michael Reinsdorf, not Michael, but Jerry dies, they're gonna keep the team. Like they're not selling it. Like you know what I'm saying. So that doesn't change much. They're still gonna keep AK there. They kept Paxton for 20 years. And Paxton didn't even get fired. He was just like, you know what? I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let y'all do y'all thing. So I have no faith in them whatsoever. But at least the flag, so you got somebody to watch.
To the dunking contest. Mattis dunked.
That's what I'm saying,
that's
bro.
It. That's all
this is the problem, bro.
He said he dunked.
This is the fucking problem right here, dog. This is one of the things. The first problem is, obviously, we don't have the guys that we want in the dunk contest. Now, second problem is, hold on, let me get, we gonna get to it. Then the next problem is the guys who do enter, you can see that they are fully unprepared. Matis didn't know what he wanted to do. The dude from Milwaukee, he didn't know what he wanted to do. Like, this is straight. Look, shout out to Stephon Castle. And I feel like he got robbed of a 50 on his second dunk. His first dunk in the final round, they should at least had a tiebreaker dunk going on. I feel like he got robbed, but that's neither nor here nor there because I had a little parlay that I had 25 on Tyler Hero to win the 3-point contest.
Okay,
and then I had Stephon Castle to win the dunk, and now she would have paid out. That she would have paid out a K, and I feel like they just didn't give him an opportunity. He should have got 50s on his first dunk. But anyway, shout out to Stephon Castle because he was prepared and he knew exactly what he needed to do to win. But Matis and the dude from Milwaukee. Unprepared. Like if y'all gonna enter y'all names into this shit, bro, at least be prepared. You can tell that like they just like, all right, fuck it, we don't got nobody else, so I'm gonna just go ahead and put my name in the ad and I'm gonna just wing it. Niggas not taking this shit seriously, bro. That's the problem.
That's the main thing with everything in general is nobody taking this seriously. And I think that you know we have some people, you know, I shout out my boy B. Some people know him as White Gold, he's an artist. He's producer, been on Eminem stuff, Pusha T, a whole bunch of stuff. We was having a debate about basketball, and he was like, no, basketball is really good right now. I was like, I don't think it is. Like, and he said that, you know, we have a nostalgia glass on. I'm like, I never said the All-Star game was never great. I never said that. But I think it was, I don't know if Bomani said this or was it Dominique Foxworth. It used to be a contract. Like a mental contract that everybody was signing. Yo, we going to play around for the first three quarters. And if it's within 20 points in the fourth, we all going to play hard. Post-2020, that has not been the case. 2020, the one in Chicago, everybody played hard because it was the one after Kobe just died. Mm-hmm. The last five have been disrespectful to the point where I feel, and it's not just in the NBA. I think we all know how the Pro Bowl is. And even Major League Baseball, it's the best out of the three majors, but I didn't even watch last year's. I think we've moved past the need of an all-star game. And I saw somebody make a good point. All-star games, I think, were great at the league pass or Sunday ticket, or whatever, because if you were in a certain market, you couldn't see these players unless they're on national TV. Now you can pull up league pass and see Shea whenever you want or whatever. I think that's part of
that. I disagree with you for this reason, right? I think that's more for the weekend, but not for the actual game.
Okay.
The only reason why is because that's really the only chance you have to see people compete against each other. And I think at the very least, people want to see people compete against each other. Like you said, once you get to that time, because really, actually, it wasn't the fourth quarter. The third quarter, you start seeing, like, it started revving up in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, depending on where everybody at, we about to play this shit like a regular game. Now, to the dunking contest, real quick, I want to go back to the dunking contest. My only issue about the debate about the dunking contest is that a lot of niggas wasn't – the dunking contest made you a star or a superstar. Like, remember when I said, Mike, on the show about micro braids, about how micro braids make an ugly girl look cute, mm-hmm. a cute girl look fine, and a fine girl look like a dime? That's the dunking contest.
Yeah.
You can come into the dunking contest and be an unknown and become a known. You could be a star. You could be a known and become a star. You could be a star and become a superstar. When Mike first got into the dunking contest, Mike was a heralded rookie, but he was not a superstar yet. The dunking contest battle between him and Dominique added to the aura. Harold Miner, for an example. Mm-hmm. Baby Jordan, he won that dunking contest. It made him into a star, a known commodity, but he was Huff. So that shit went away. Isaiah Ryder was a quality NBA player. His name became more known as he got into those circles. Kobe, Vince Carter became Kobe and Vince Carter at the dunking contest. The dunking contest has always been a rite of passage. I think people get too carried away with the superstars being up in there because if I'm Ja Morant, I don't need to be in a dunking contest right now. And I'm Ja.
You could say that too for like Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, when he was in Minnesota, right. Zach LaVine became a household name off the dunk contest when he was in Minnesota. I think when he won his rookie year?
Rookie year. But now, should Ja Morant had did that shit his rookie year?
Absolutely.
Or year two? Yeah. I don't have to see Ja Morant basically revive his career after he wanted to be Katie Got Bands in every goddamn video by doing the dunking contest. He's already a superstar.
Yeah.
That's my point. And what I don't want is superstar Ja Morant getting into the dunking contest and being huffed because he's a great in-game dunker. But I ain't never seen the dunk that made me go, oh, shit. From Ja Morant.
That's true. And maybe I get it, but I think that I feel bad for the kids because at least we've seen good all-star games. We've seen good dunk contests. I remember there was the 25th anniversary of the Vince Carter. I remember watching that live. You know what I'm saying? I remember when that happened 25 years ago, Oral Karina was just Oral Karina. Now they go back to Oral Karina for practice. That's a legendary spot now. Three championships won. There's so much things has changed. I saw yesterday's Michael Jordan's birthday. I saw the game, the shot that sent it to overtime in this final All-Star game. Well, Mariah Carey had the jersey dress. You know, so these are memories. Like, I think they're talking about on Levitard. They're like, what are your All-Star memories? I remember the East coming back down from 21 points to 2001. I remember Kobe's first All-Star game, being the youngest All-Star starter, going up against Mike. Now, obviously, I was only 4 years old when this happened, but with the Magic Johnson coming back from having his first All-Star game after getting in contact with HIV, LeBron dunking on the entire Western Conference in 08. You know, you've got those different ones. You know, LeBron not taking the last shot, and Kobe and D-Wade cussing him out.
Right there. I'm glad that you said that because now I want to get into when did the All-Star game die? For me, the moment you just said is the moment to me that the All-Star game died when LeBron James didn't make the last shot. I just want to get mine out the way and then I'll go to y'all.
Didn't even attempt it. Didn't even attempt it.
Here's why I believe that is the moment that killed the All-Star game. Because I think LeBron was looking at this shit like it's an All-Star game. We having fun. Ain't nobody worried about the last shot. Kobe, Carmelo Anthony, Wade looking at his ass. Fam, why you ain't take the final shot? Take
Kobe the goddamn was hot.
Shit. Kobe was hot, fam. Yeah. To me, that was the moment that killed the All-Star game because the leader, at that time, the man that's going into the leader of the NBA, the man who's the top of the food chain, who's running the show, at that moment was not going to allow himself to get more pressure on him for a goddamn All-Star game. Yeah. Has there been competitive ones since then? Yeah. As you said, the year after Kobe. But that's because that was the year that after Kobe. The
year of Kobe. That was a couple weeks.
That's right. That was weeks after Kobe passed.
Yeah.
But so that's Kobe. He's always competitive. But at that moment, and I went and I started looking back because I was wondering this, and I had put this on the book early day when I asked that question. After that moment, the All-Star game started to become less and less competitive.
Yeah.
That moment when Kobe cussed out LeBron, when they all looked at LeBron like, why you ain't take the goddamn final shot? To me, that's what's killed it, because also other people that's coming into the NBA is looking at that moment like, we going to see what other people going to do and we going to go from there. I don't feel like we've really seen a true competitive All-Star game since 2012. Because also what also went down in that 2012 game, that's the also the year, I believe, and make sure I got it right, that's the year that Derrick Rose looked at everybody like,
niggas. Was that the one at Jerry World? No, Jerry World was 2010.
Yeah, Jerry World was 2010. So that's my thing about the All-Star game. Have there been competitive ones? Yes. But something that's at the, we about to see who's the best players in the world play, go hard out without no extra popping circumstances. The last true competitive All-Star game was 2012, and it ended with the best player in the world not taking the final shot. And ever since then, it has gotten less and less competitive because nobody wants to put pressure on themselves or their homies to be competitive in this game. Nobody wants to be Kobe. Nobody wants to be Melo and D-Wade. But don't nobody want to be LeBron and have everybody looking at them crazy either.
Yeah.
That's where the competitiveness of the All-Star game, to me, died.
But this is my thing, though. So why isn't there anybody in the locker room before the game starts? Why isn't a talk being had like, yo?
But there is. There is talks being had. They've been bringing legends into the room. Like, and that's also kind of funny to me because I barely care about Larry Bird. And I'm 10 years older than these niggas in the locker room. You think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Pascal Siakam care about Larry Bird? No, nigga. Like, they in their 20s. But like, even then, I think Chuck hit the nail on the head. Like, Draymond was getting his real Varnell Hill on a broadcast on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He was straight up Varnell Hill. Well, this bad.
Orlando, 2012 is when that happened.
It's the same one. It was the same All-Star game. Same All-Star game. And so when he's saying it's bad, and Chuck was like, y'all the reason it's bad. He's like, don't blame the little brother, blame the cousins. Y'all the ones who was bad. Like, they didn't put enough emphasis on it. And I want to say, too, I feel where the younger players are coming from because it's not even midway point anymore. Like, we're not at the midway point of the NBA season. There's like 25 games left.
Yeah.
It's like, we got like a solid month, like 5 weeks left in the NBA season before play-in starts. So yeah, maybe they need to move it up a little bit, but see, that's the problem too, where they're trying to duck the NFL, which is going to be tough because when that 18-game schedule hit in like 2 weeks and the Super Bowl is this week on President's Day weekend, they're going to have to pump it up anyway. So to me, I get it. My only problem is it's not really just with the All-Star game. It's the NBA in general where ratings are low, and I think more than anything, interest. It's just low, bro. Like, it's hard for me to get through a game. And it's to the point where I can't even just pick one thing. It's the 3 points, yeah. But it's just something about it. It's not like you get a big payoff in the playoffs. These past playoffs are terrible to me.
So real quick, Scott, what was the moment of the All-Star game that you felt like it killed the All-Star game? Not the weekend, but the game.
I think the moment you just said, it slowly gotten worse each day. You had a couple of years, well, it was good moments. 2018, the one in L.A., where they did the first team draft, where it was Giannis and LeBron. That one was pretty solid. You know, by 2020 was solid. It's been a couple, but overall, it's just been worse and worse to the point where I don't, they're not going to ever get rid of it. Like, I think NBC is going to have the All-Star game next year.
Yeah.
But I think this year, the problem was less the game. Like, I think the actual basketball wasn't that bad. It's just, I don't advocate people getting fired, but whoever produced that show got to go. Like, there was 32 minutes of basketball play. I saw this stat. It was 32 actual on-court play, and it was a 3.5-hour show. That's about as long as the Grammys. Like, do the inside the NBA. I'm fine with the tribute. It's their last All-Star game. It's the last time Inside's going to be on like almost every week throughout the season. Do that in the pregame.
Right. In the middle of the game was crazy.
In the middle of the game was crazy.
If you're an athlete, granted, I'm not an athlete, obviously, but I'm pretty sure you don't want to stop play. You got to be in a rhythm. You can get cramps that way. You can pull something. So you had that, and there was too many, like, half times, bro. Like, it was, like, 4 half times. You play the first 2 games, then do the Bay Area little halftime show they did, which I thought was great, then get to the final game. So, like, the production was so bad, I can't even really give a grade on court because I think it was decent, but I don't remember.
They pretty much had an intermission after each game. So, like you said, I agree with you. Like, after you play the first game, get right into the second game, and then get into all your intermission stuff. Yeah. The entertainment, and then you know what I'm saying, just keep the party going with the games and everything like that. But I commend Adam Silver. Adam Silver has been dealt a bad hand when it comes to certain shit, when it comes to the NBA. I feel like he's trying his best to fix a broken product, and that's with regular season play. That's why you add the in-season tournament. When it comes to adding the play-in tournament to get in the playoffs, and then, you know, trying to find ways to switch it up with the All-Star game. You switched it up. The first thing you did was added the team captains, and then you did a pickup game style. You pick which guys you want on your team, which I thought was creative. I like that. I didn't have no problem with that. You also then you switch it again, you know, with the Kobe format after Kobe passes away. You switch it to that format for the, you know, the point target, the target score of being like 24 points after or whatever like that. And then you switch it again. We got the 4 games, and then you add the Rising Stars in, which is a nice touch. I agree with Draymond with his point where he said Rising Stars shouldn't be allowed to play on Saturday. I get what he's saying. In that sense, but I mean, what do y'all want Adam Silver to do? The Rising Stars went out there and they took the OGs to the max, went out there and played, made the OGs, you know what I'm saying, have to go out there and win that game. The Rising Stars was just gonna give it to them. So I respect the concept of it. But I know one thing, I know you can't, it's easy to point the blame right at Adam Silver, but I feel like he's doing the best he can with the cards that he's dealt, bro. He's trying.
I will say this.
He's trying, bro.
Maybe this is nostalgia. Maybe just think like maybe in back in my day, but I feel like David Stern at some point would have went into both of them locker rooms and been like, hey, y'all motherfuckers better get on y'all shit tonight.
And that's
really Adam Silver is more like, hey, guys, you know.
And that's the problem. Nice guys can't be commissioners. I'm sorry. Hey. I told somebody this the other day. Roger Goodell is the devil, but he knows how to put together a league. Like, that's the issue there.
But see, why does somebody, I mean, obviously, yeah, it's cool for Adam Silver to go in the locker room and actually try to, you know what I'm saying, drill it in these niggas' heads.
Go ahead, ask that.
Why do you have to do that? Because look. Because
niggas go nigga. That's why. Because niggas go nigga.
Why is it so hard for these NBA players to go out there and give 70% to 80%?
Go back to 2012. Kobe yelling at Kobe, Melo, and Dwayne Wade with a broken nose yelling at LeBron for not taking the last shot is the reason why.
Where's that energy in amongst these players? It should just be one or two players who can step up and be like, look, We need to go out here. We need to do
Mike,
this.
Women,
niggas,
women.
niggas
Mike,
go to.
Women, wait, Mike. Hear what I just said? Because them yelling at LeBron, niggas want to be more like LeBron in the situation and not like Kobe, Dwayne, Wade, and Melo.
Mama mentality sounds good, so you got to follow it.
That man, it sounds good. You can, Mark, you got Jason Tatum and shit wearing Lakers colors and
nasty. Nasty work. Here's a perfect example.
Game
bro.
And shit.
There's a new documentary that came on Netflix today that's about the 2024 Olympics.
Great documentary too.
I'm almost done with it. And it showed. It made me go back to the Redeem Team doc, and there was a scene in there that told me the difference between Kobe and even niggas in LeBron D Wade era. LeBron D Wade, Melo, all them Redeem Team niggas went to the club, and when they came back to the hotel, what was Kobe doing in the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning? And he's like, oh, yeah, y'all niggas came out here to party. I'm coming out here. I didn't come out here to not win. And so, and I'm not saying that LeBron didn't work hard, but it's more of a friendly atmosphere where that type of cloth of care player just ain't the same. And that's why we say blame LeBron era. They're the masters of the player empowerment era. Which I've honestly never been a fan of. Y'all can see
but these niggas can play. But these niggas can hold private workout sessions in the summer. Play in the Drew League and all that other bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But can't give 75% to 80% effort in an All Star game. Which
no,
doesn't make sense
because I'm telling you, it doesn't make sense. But when you're LeBron James, and I might be wrong in this, and this ain't even no, before anybody say anything, this ain't no diss to LeBron James. Because low-key, I can see where LeBron James is coming from. Y'all just caused an issue about me not taking a shot in an all-star game. And y'all just made this into a big-ass deal. This is an exhibition. This is what this is. I'm telling you, a lot of these NBA players don't think of bragging rights when it comes to these things. They think of bragging rights more at the Drew League than they do at the All-Star game.
Crazy.
They think of bragging rights when somebody is going up against some random dude that work at T-Mobile and crossing them over and dunking him more than they think about anything else. To me, this is my opinion. And until somebody show me differently, I'm going to keep this opinion. When Kobe challenged that man in an all-star game, he was like, nah, I'm chilling at these joints. I'm going to do me. But I ain't trying to put all of my all into a goddamn all-star game. And that shit carried over to the fact that this nigga said he ain't going to play an hour before the goddamn all-star game. LeBron James and people since him don't give a shit about the All-Star game. In fact, now we're at a point where nobody gives a damn about an exhibition because you're right. Niggas could easily go up in the locker room and say, all right, we playing hard today. But then you get out on the court and you're like, nah, I'm straight because niggas ain't trying to be embarrassed out there. Niggas ain't trying to hoop that hard. We'll just wait till the game. We'll wait till the season start. That's why I don't watch the NBA until Christmas because Christmas, you know, niggas is going at it. Like, all right, it's time. We about to ball.
That got pushed this back Christmas. For me, dog.
Right, but now this Christmas looked like shit. So that's even dead. The NBA tried to institute that shit with the goddamn in-season tournament. The in-season tournament this year was whack as hell. We've already forgotten that Milwaukee won the in-season tournament.
Yeah, I did.
We've already forgotten that shit, that Milwaukee has won it. The only time you really going to start to see competitive basketball in the way that we're used to is April. Even when you look at the NBA right now, when niggas know they down, we ain't about to come back and shit. Fuck it. That's why it's blowouts. It's not blowouts because they just literally dominating them niggas. If we want to use some context, look at the goddamn documentary, the Dream We Beat the Dream Team documentary. Coach K basically said, this happened because of this. Without telling the story, this happened because shit, this happened. Everybody else was like, nah, this probably happened because these niggas couldn't come back.
Yeah.
That's, and they was like, fuck it. Most blowouts in the NBA is not because it's the fucking LA Lakers versus the Dallas Mavericks in 1999. No, it's because, oh man, this game fucking over. All right, well.
I gotta go to a meeting in 5 minutes before Tiff cuts me out. I just got one question for y'all. And you to my meet cut, no, she be cussing me out. But anyway, what did y'all think? I know it's off topic, but what do y'all think about the Drake album? All
right, so we talked about that before you came in. Bang didn't listen to it. I listened to it, and I already had said, I said prior to listening to the album, we talked about this on the pod, I said that I was going to go into it with an open mind and be objective and everything like that. But I had already stated prior to the album releasing that I wasn't a fan of Party Next Door. I've never been a fan of Party Next Door. I've never listened to a Party Next Door project. I've heard him on songs. I've heard some of his like singles. I've heard records that him and Drake have put out together. And I'm not a fan of anything that he's ever made prior to this project. So it was easy for me to listen to that project, and I got exactly what I got out of it, and it's not good. It's, you know, it ain't for me, and there's very few bright spots. It's a couple bright spots, and there's a great record that's just Party Next Door on it that I wish Lucky Day was singing it instead of him. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Your response and a whole bunch of other people is why I say the album is ass. Because you know how everybody, when they get an opinion, well, you know, it's not for me. And you know, when you think about everything that went on these last 10 months,
song number two, three and number five, good.
No beef aside, all beef aside, bro. And I'm going into this like Drake. I can tell you right now, me as a fan, I know you're not on the Drake fan base no more, Scott. He didn't look. I'm still a fan of Drake, and I can sit here on this pod and I can say that Drake has made exceptional R&B songs that I personally like and I think are really good. I think he's a better R&B artist than Party Next Door is. Party Next Door is not good.
Drake, I'm a better R&B artist than
Drake could have went without doing this project with Dude. He could have sung on all of those records by himself, and the album would be 10 times better.
Well,
than
he couldn't have, because then Lucian would have put a cease and desist on all of them, which is why I'm just gonna say this, because I'm going in full bang. I'm going in Joe Budden mode tomorrow. I'm doing track by track.
But quick review, what do you think about it, Scott?
Quick review, this ain't it, bro. Like, this is like, and this is like, I'm not even comparing it to Kendrick, whatever, compared to Drake. This is like an AI version of Drake.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not good. Like, you know, there's certain bright spots. I like the intro, CN Tower. You know, it's dope. Nokia, I liked for a minute, but then it just sounded like a bad version of something when it came out during early Freaknik days. You know, and his, I have such an issue with Give Me a Hug for multiple reasons. One,
Give Me a Hug, ass niggas.
You sampling Aaron Hall. Read the room, nigga.
Yeah.
That's King Weird Case. Like, you can't be obvious getting mad about people calling you a pedophile, and you sample Aaron Hall, who was with Gloria Velez when she was like 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that, you know. But to me, you know, I think that the numbers projections 250 first week, which I was pretty spot on the show last week. I said 230, 250. I should have bet Pavi because Pavi got scared and said 180K. I was like, somebody getting shot at a record label of Drake doing the 200K. But I really want to see what the second week numbers gonna look like. I think it's gonna be a dramatic drop.
This was one of those projects where let's listen to hear what Drake has done.
Yeah.
Post beef, and this shit ain't good. It's over with for it.
And it's gonna be a while for his solo album comes out, because label UMG they going to court with this. So speaking of, I think ASAP Rocky verdict is about to come out in like 5 minutes. So
yeah, tell Bang about the Mexican record first though. What do you think about
My God. Look, man, I went to school with half Mexicans. Like, Kiri was like 60% Mexican, 40% black when I was there. If I was Mexican, I would be offended, because I don't know what that was. Shout out to all my Mexican homies. I done been to their houses. I done been around all their family members, nigga. They don't talk like that. Like, stop it, Drake. What are we doing? But I think the main problem for me why he lost me as a fan, I just can't get the fact that he's a whole ass nigga out of my head. Like, I might be the bitch ass nigga. That's actually worse than a whole ass nigga. Like, if he would have not, the lawsuit is what changed it for me. Because come on, you can lose a beef and I can still listen to your raps. You know what I'm saying? But you can't do that, bro. And then the bulletproof with the smoke coming out, like
everything he do, bro, just got cornball written all
over. Bro, it's like this is why we should gatekeep Americans and two black parent households, not household, but two black parents, even if the dad ain't around, should be the requirement to rap. But that's all I got. Tune in to Summer Sessions tomorrow, man. I'm doing a Joe Budden breakdown on that album.
So, all right, Scott, appreciate it.
Hey, man, let's get back to this All-Star game real quick. like, I don't think you ever mentioned, like, what was it for you?
As far as, like, the point where I think we lost it?
Yeah.
I could agree with you on that, man. Like, I honestly, I had forgot all about that game, the 2012 game. When you really do mention it, I was going to say 2020. I was just thinking of it as a competitive, from a competitive standpoint, a point that's when we lost it. After that year, because I feel like that was the last actual competitive All-Star game that we had. And obviously, now that we talked about it, we've seen that the competitive nature of it was in the spirit of Kobe Bryant. So when you really look at it after that, like, there hasn't been any type of competitiveness when it comes to the All-Star game. So if you want to look at it, I agree with you. And from your standpoint, that 2012 is when we lost it. But also, I think just from a just competitive nature period, 2020, like, nothing has been competitive as far as All-Star game has been concerned since then, and when it was in Chicago. And but overall, though, I just, in how I see it, though, I just feel like you just gotta have that one or two players, bro, on each team, just huddle up with your squad, bro, and say, look, man, we're gonna go out here, we're gonna give 75-80%, bro. You know what I'm saying? And we just gonna play this game. Obviously, you're gonna see your alley oops, you're gonna see, you know what I'm saying, the crossovers, you're gonna see the 40-foot three-pointers. You're gonna see that amongst the game. But still though, I feel like what Adam Silver did with adding, you know what I'm saying, the rising stars and making it a tournament style, that kind of kept the competitiveness up. You know what I'm saying? Because you still saw glimpses of, you know what I'm saying, the trick shit and the alley-oops, but they were out there trying to win the game. They were playing for something. I think you should still stay with this format and just maybe push the target score to like 50. That way you can get more players, more playing time, because you had guys like Cade Cunningham. It was his first All-Star game. He played 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had the other guys, some of the other younger guys too. Like, they only play like 6-7 minutes, 8 minutes in the game altogether. And then on top of that, if you're in the game and then you lose the first game, you out. I feel like they should probably tweak that too. I feel like you should just get another opportunity. They should have like a second chance round or something. Like, you know, I see they doing talks with, you know, maybe it might possibly be the world versus, you know what I'm saying, the USA. But I think this might be.
I want that.
I think it might be a problem with that, because do you have enough international players that are all stars? Are you just going to start giving all-star nods? You're going to give all-star nods?
The Bogdan Bogdanovich?
Yeah, you're going to give him an all-star nod? I don't think you can do it that way. I don't think it works that way, because it's not a balance. It's not enough balance. Yeah, we have a lot of international players, but you don't have a lot of international players that are all-star caliber players that you just giving all-star nods to players because you're trying to satisfy this format that everybody thinks that we should go with. So I don't see it working out with that as far as, you know what I'm saying, the All-Star game is concerned. I think you should continue to keep it this way, though. I think you could. I see the potential. I see the potential in the tournament style with 8 players on each team and, you know, still continue to use the Rising Stars as another team. And I see where, I think you should see where it goes from there. Just tweak the rules. And like Scott said, we're going to have to, hopefully NBC can do a better job and with the production and, you know what I'm saying, make it more about the players playing the actual game and not Kevin Hart out here telling cringeworthy jokes, you know what I'm saying, in the middle of the game and during presentations and all of that shit like that. So, like Scott said, bro, I think that the production was just a big-ass circus, and it just didn't really revolve around, you know what I'm saying, the basketball game in general, you know? So, it's a lot, bro.
I'm going to say this one more time when it comes to the NBA. The NBA, I'm sorry. The NBA just don't have stars no more. I have a lot of niggas that can hoop. when LeBron James and Steph Curry are done, the star era in the NBA is going to be done for quite some time. Now, part of it is, let's be honest, who wants to be a star? Like, who wants to be the face?
But see, let me ask you this, Bang. I'm going to let you finish. I want you to answer this question in the midst of
Well, let me just say this part.
All right, go ahead.
Let me just say this part. Anthony Edwards, they did an interview with him. And they had asked him if he wanted to be the face of the NBA. And he said, nah, I just want to kill niggas on the court. I don't want to be the star or the face of the NBA. I think there's more people like him, but even still, the worst part about that, the worst part about that is there's nobody outside of that that wants to take the mantle. They just want to hoop. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant just want to hoop. If you put basketball vagabond in the dictionary, that shit is Kevin Durant. That man don't care about how many teams he's on and none of that shit. That man just want to hoop. That's it. That's all. And that's where a lot of people in the NBA take their cues from. LeBron James, low key, just want to hoop too. Yeah, I'll be that star nigga when it's time in the playoffs, but I just want to hoop. Fam, a lot of dudes in the NBA don't want to be the star. They don't want to be Michael Jordan. They don't want to be shit. They don't even want to be Scottie Pippen back in that day. They want to be incognito when they're doing their thing. And that's the issue with the NBA right now. Nobody wants to take the reins and be the star. Everybody just wants to hoop. And because of that, there's no reason for a casual fan to come in and try to watch anything when it comes to that show of basketball, because who are you going to latch on? Who? Like, when you look at the NBA, let's be real. I asked Trey this after the last show, and Trey pretty much confirmed that he likes some of these dudes, but I'd rather see them on 2K than watch them. He's 10. Mike, when I was 10 years old, on the weekend, we would hoop until NBA on NBC comes on. And we had to make sure that we watched that game. We had to make sure that we go in and see the box score, all of that shit. No, nobody care about that shit no more. And I honestly believe it has nothing to do with highlights, SportsCenter, being able to see them on Instagram or none of that. Because I could tell you a couple of people, one named Drake, that people see all the time on Instagram, hear their music, and they still want to be Drake. Nobody wants to be a star. So since nobody wants to be a star, there's no reason to follow these basketball playing ass niggas. What was your question?
So I was gonna say, like, I've seen the conversations about who's gonna be the next face of the NBA. Currently, who's the face of the NBA right now, who's the guy that's the face that's passing it on to the next face?
Well, who's LeBron James is the face.
Okay, so
Steph Curry is the face.
All right, so what do those guys have in common, though? What do they have in common?
Well, outside of them being old niggas now?
Yeah, as far as their credentials is concerned, what do they have in common?
They're both champions. They're both former MVPs. One of them is the first unanimous MVP.
Both of them are four-time champions. Yeah. So I feel like I feel like when you ask these questions, like when these guys having these conversations about these guys, that's who's going to be the face of the NBA, who's going to be the next face of the NBA, you always look towards the young guys. I mean, I see a lot of Ja Morant. You see a lot of Anthony Edwards names being brought up. You see like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But these guys, what do these guys have in common? Those three guys that I just named, what do they have in common?
So who's the name?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards. What do they have in common?
They black guards.
Niggas ain't won shit.
Oh, okay.
They ain't won shit. So I feel like when you have those conversations and you bringing up these guys' names, Joel Embiid, you know, like these are the guys y'all bringing up to be the potential face of the league. These niggas ain't won shit. So why do y'all feel like they worthy to be the NBA and they haven't won anything?
So here's the caveat to what you just said. I ain't saying you wrong, but here's the caveat to what you just said. A lot of people that we followed, Mike, they didn't win no ring either. Charles Barkley ain't win no ring. Gary Payton ain't win no ring. Patrick Ewing ain't win no ring.
But were these guys, I would never think of those. When you say those names, though,
Hit me out. A lot of the players that were, see, here's the thing. Michael Jordan will always be the top dog. But you can't say NBA and not include everybody I just named. See, the thing about the NBA back in our day is that there were multiple superstars. There was damn near a superstar on every team.
Yeah. And that's how the league is currently, too. It's a superstar pretty much.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Trey, because when we say superstar, it's not just what you do on the court. Dominique Wilkins was a superstar. Larry Bird is a superstar. Actually, I think Larry Bird has become underrated in his old age. Every time I look at a documentary, everybody is talking about how cold that man was. We don't hear a lot about Larry Bird, probably, and what we should have. But we got Larry Bird. That's Boston. Charlotte had Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson at one point as superstars. What? Let's go down. Matter of fact, I'm about to be the old dude. Go down each team and hit niggas with the back in my day, and you know what I mean by that. Boston, Larry Bird in our day. Then if you want to keep going, Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker. Bulls, we ain't got to talk that. We know that. Atlanta Hawks, at one point, Dominique Wilkins. Charlotte, Larry Johnson, Alonzo Mourning. Cleveland Cavaliers, Brad Doherty, Mark Price. New Jersey Nets is probably a team that you could say, is Kenny Anderson a star? But then when you get in the 2000s, you look at that team with Jason Kidd and Kerry Kittles and Keith Van Horn and Kenyon Martin. Like, them niggas were stars to us. New York Knicks, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Latrell Sprewell, Allen Houston, Detroit Pistons, Grant Hill, Isaiah Thomas. They dip off after that for a while, a little bit. But then you get to the team that won the title, which didn't win a superstar, but they were a team superstar. Miami Heat, Lonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, Orlando Magic, Shaq, Dwight Howard, Indiana Pacers, Reggie Miller, Paul George, Philadelphia 76ers, Charles Barkley, Joel Embiid. Outside of the Bulls, I ain't really named a champion yet. Toronto Raptors, Vince Carter, Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis, Ray Allen, Washington Wizards, Chris Webber, Rod Strickland, John Wall, Gilbert Arenas, Denver, Dikembe Mutombo, Joker, Golden State Warriors, Run TMC, Stephen, Dallas Mavericks. They don't really get into the superstar conversation until they get Dirk. Then they had Luka, and they traded him. Houston Rockets, Hakeem Olajuwon, Steve Francis, Yao Ming, Clippers, Don't get into the superstar conversation until they get Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Kawhi Leonard, Minnesota Timberwolves, KG, Kevin Love, Ant, Cat, Oklahoma City, all of them. Shit, Lakers, all of them. Grizzlies, Marc Gasol, Z-Bo, Ja, Phoenix, Devin, KD, Brad, Portland, Clyde Drexler, dang. Brandon Roy before he got hurt, Utah, Carl, John, Sacramento, Chris Webber, them, San Antonio, all the big dudes. There was a star on every team. And guess what? Them niggas wanted to be the star. That's the difference. All of them niggas that I named took, well, most of them niggas took pride in the fact that they was the star. That shit ran through them. I can't say that about the majority of the stars in the NBA. They just want to hoop.
I get what you're saying. But see, it's something that's not, I mean, it ain't like, it's not like when we having the debates about, hey, who's going to be the star, blah, 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 who's going to be the face of the NBA. Like, we're not giving you, it ain't like you're going to walk around with a damn crown on your head that says you're the face. It's just a thing. It's just a name that's given upon you. It's just appointed by the masses. And it's not like, you know what I'm saying, you just accept it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But when see, this is what I'm saying, though. So my point is that when you talk about these guys, all these guys that be in this conversation, the conversation should really be, when you mention these names, you should mention names like Tatum. Tatum's won a championship. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis has won a championship. Jokic. Jokic has three MVPs, and he's won a title. These are your faces, but they're the faces without actually having to say it. Like, these are the guys that we should be looking at and saying, hey, these are the guys that, you know, that are faces of the NBA, and they're the ones that's going out there, and they don't competing, and they winning. And they're the ones that's winning. That's what the face of the NBA is to me. I think no conversation about the face of the NBA should be had around a player if they ain't won shit. A lot of these conversations are based off what these guys potentially think they can do.
Mike, that's the problem. Everybody ain't gonna win. A lot of them niggas who I named didn't win a title either. Some of them didn't even make it to a conference final. But that wasn't because of a lack of trying. You just ran up against a player or a team that was better.
Absolutely.
You got to want to be a star, Mike. You got to want it. And you got to want everything that come with it. Folks is more worried about, now I will say this, folks is more worried about the accolades than they are being the star. They want everything that comes with being the star without being the star. They want everything that comes with that, but I just want to hoop, though.
But when you go out there and hoop, all of the great things that you want from this game, it'll come to you. And at one point in time, and at some point in time down the line in your career, you going to be named the face of the NBA without you wanting it or whatever. It's just going to be said about you. It has to just be said about a person. It can't be debated. Like, oh, it could possibly be him. It's just going to be you. Just go out there and be that guy, Joe. You know what I'm saying? Without having it to be debated about you, and we have to have these conversations about who's going to lead the way. That's the fucking problem.
Ant, who's the clear. Anthony Edwards is the clear face. And that man said, "Nah, I'm straight." That man said, "Nah, I'm good."
He said, "That's why they got Wimby."
That's why they got Wimby.
He just threw that on Wimby. But shout out to Wimby though, because Wimby is one of those players. Like, you know, he had that energy at the All-Star game where it's like, "Look, man, I'm going out here. I'm trying to hoop. I'm trying to win. I ain't out here to make friends with y'all." Like, he was one of the players that was trying to bring that energy. But at the end of the day, Wimby's a kid. He's a kid.
He's the only person playing real defense.
Only person out there hooping, playing defense, you know what I'm saying? Running up and down the court, giving it, you know what I'm saying, 95, 100% effort. And he's a kid. He's a kid. But you would wish that you would, he can't be the one to motivate everybody else. It got to be the other
guys. It's got to be the other guys.
Got to be the other guys.
And the problem with that is who going to do it? Like, that's my whole point. Who going to do it then?
And it ain't even gotta be. It ain't even gotta be a guy that could potentially be the face of the league. It just got to be somebody. One of those rising star guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Shai ain't gonna do it. Shai too busy trying to look like R. Kelly going to the damn game.
Hey, but when Shai out there hooping, man, he hooping though. You know what I'm saying? But
yes,
it's like,
again, nobody wants. That's why I said nobody wants to be the star. They just want to hoop and they want everything that comes with it, but they don't want to be the star. They want the commercials, but they don't want to be the star. There was a charisma around damn near everybody that I named, even lame-ass David Robinson. Mm-hmm. David Robinson was lame as hell, but there was a charisma around that man that made him the Admiral. That was that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, though, I still see potential when it comes to this product that we call the NBA. Ooh. You know, I don't know. I ain't even saying potential as far as like superstar. No. I'm like, who's going to be
like
who's going to be the face?
And here's the other part. Wait a minute. It's one more thing. Also, is the American part too? Like, Americans don't want to see no European the face of the sport. That's crazy. They'd rather see a black man as the face of the sport than a European. That's the one place that racism might not exist in the way that we think. And Orlando is right. I think Orlando said the face of the league is supposed to be Zion. The face of the league is supposed to be Zion. In the social media era, that man is the one player that took advantage of it in high school.
Because
college, he was the easy choice. He got to New Orleans and just got me.
Zion Williamson is literally the only player currently in the league right now where you were mentioning him and LeBron James's name in the same sentence.
He wasn't even in the league yet, not necessarily
comparing, obviously, like saying, yeah, Zion is the next LeBron, but you know, that talk was being had as far as the potential of Zion. It was the potential of Zion. Zion had to go to college, right? He couldn't go to college. He had to at that time. So, but it was, I agree, it was supposed to be Zion. And he is the only player currently in the NBA right now who we were having that comparison of him and LeBron James, because LeBron James at the time, it still is the face, quote unquote, face of the league. And he was supposed to be the next man to take the throne.
And that's the downfall, because then I'm telling you this, look at the NBA. This is to me easy, but a lot of people are going to use this. A lot of people are going to use this as a lot of talking points. But to me, this is easy economics. Go look at football. Pat's a star. Joe Burrow's a star. Josh Allen's a star. Lamar Jackson is a star. You got Jaden Daniels that came in. He's a star. Caleb came into the league a star. Just didn't work out year one.
And nonetheless, had a great year, and Caleb will be a star.
Yeah. Like, even in some circles, I mean, well, at least we got Kyler Murray. Like, goddamn Matt Stafford, Dak. And they all want to be stars. See, that's the other part. The people that I named want to be the man. My question for the NBA. This is the question. Lamar was a crackhead star. Yes, he was. Lamar Odom was still a star. Lamar Odom was a crackhead before crack, after crack, still is a star with the Kardashians. To me, this is how we end this podcast, Mike. who wants to be the man in the NBA? Not who wants to be Jordan, not who wants to be LeBron, not who wants to be Steph. Who wants to be the man? Not about who wants to be the best player in the NBA. Who wants to be the man? When you talk about basketball, who wants to be that? I don't know who that is. And maybe the person who wants to be that is just not as talented as the people that can be. All I see is a lot of people that want to be fashionable ass niggas that DM girls on Instagram and do what they need to do and go hoop. But I knew Charles Barkley wanted to be the man. Pat wanted to be the man. Gary Payton wanted to be the man. Sean Kemp wanted to be the man. Dikembe wanted to be the man. Kobe, Shaq wanted to be the man. Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker, they wanted to be the man. Dominique Wilkins wanted to be the man. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, they all want to be the man. Shit, Eddie Jones wants to be the goddamn man, fam. He tried to play his heart out to keep Kobe from not starting. Who wants to be Eddie Jones keeping Kobe from starting? At least be that. At least be that, fam. There's not one player, American at that, that I truly believe wants to be the man. They seen Wimby tall ass and said, that's who y'all want. Go ahead and get him. That's my theory. That's my thought. Nobody wants to be the man. They just want to hoop. And if they do USA versus the world, them niggas going to get cooked by six players, fam. They're going to get cooked by six players. Damian, Steph is done. Like, Steph is past that. Steph is done in 3 years. We talking about young.
To be determined, bang. It's to be determined.
I think it's already been determined, fam. The two faces of the NBA is going to be Luka and Wimby.
I think so. Two internationals.
And they're going to go to NBA. And the crazy thing is they're going to go to the NBA on NBC. And it's going to be the same shit. There's nothing thrilling about the league no more. There's no pomp and circumstance. There's no emotion. There's no rivalry.
It's just a lot of crybabies. Overpaid crybabies at that.
Like, I mean, if you want that out, not my opinion, but but
mine.
But there, like, even when Mike left, right? Man, seeing Iverson go up against Ray Allen, go up against Stephon Marbury, Vince Carter, like, it was still rivalries. It was still matchups you wanted to see. Let me ask you this question, Mike. This is how we, matter of fact, this is how we end the podcast. What is the matchup in the NBA currently right now that when you hear that these two players are about to go up against each other, you know you got to watch that game? That's not Steph and LeBron.
Shai and Ant. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Ant, or Luka versus Jokic. Luka versus Jokic because their style of plays and
so, you know, pause. What they bring. Huh? You want to know what's messed up with what you just said? Luka and Joker don't even play the same position.
And they don't. Yeah, they don't. They don't play the same.
And Shai and Ant do, but they both play on small markets.
But when I hear like guys that match up against each other, Shai and Ant are like the first ones that pops in my head. That's what pops in my head first.
And Shai coming to the All-Star game looking like R. Kelly at the TP2.
He looks crazy. He looks crazy. Shai gonna do his fashion shit, but when he on the court, bro, it's smooth, bro, and it's all about business.
He gonna do his fashion shit. But
that's the one, though. Shai and Ant. That's the one that I think about. Like, when I think of a rivalry or like two matchups that I would like, I know I gotta watch these dudes ball. It's gonna be those two for now.
SGA has the charisma of an apple. And Ant already just told us that he don't want to be the face.
Yeah.
That's why the NBA is where the NBA is at.
Fried.
Any hot takes, Mike?
No hot takes, man. We gonna go ahead and get up out of here, dog. Some Dude Pod, rate, like, subscribe. The Barber's Chair Network is where you can find Some Dude Pod. Make sure you search that where you search where you get your favorite podcast at. We on YouTube, the Barber's Chair Network. We on IG, Some Dude Pod, Barber's Chair Net. At Mike_CHR, at JR Bang. Facebook group, hashtag Some Dude Pod is the Facebook group. Y'all get into the group, get involved in the conversation and all that good stuff. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. See y'all when we see y'all.
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Nate Kale, and this is Some Dude Podcast. We out. Peace.